Welcome to Food Integrity Now, your source for news and talk radio advocating integrity in the food supply. Today we have a special show. Oh, but first let me introduce my co-host, Susan Wright.
Hi, Matt. Thank you.
So Carol can't make it today, but we have a great show in store for you. Today we have the director, executive director of the Non-GMO Project. We talk a lot about GMOs on this show. Pretty much everyone out there knows what's the deal with them, why you should avoid them, and how ubiquitous they are in our food supply. You know, it's difficult to go into a restaurant and be sure that you're not eating GMOs. You know, there's all these studies come out all the time about new potential dangers as this experiment of what are the effects of GMOs continues on the human population, and we are unwitting participants in that experiment. And there was just a new email by Jeffrey Smith I got earlier this week about some of the 40 different plant diseases that Roundup causes on plants. Did you see that, Susan?
I didn't, but it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, there have been several articles about how it causes imbalances, the superweeds and I think a lot of people have developed more disease. They have food allergies, increased food allergies, increased diabetes, and they're pretty much tracing that back to especially GMO corn. So,
well, there's a lot of people doing some great things in the food integrity movement, and specifically with GMOs. And our guest today is Megan Westgate from the Non-GMO Project. They're doing amazing things in providing a certification program that allows a company to certify their product as non-GMO. We know that the people that are following food know that GMOs do not require labeling, and most of the time the people eating GMOs have no idea unless they're out there doing the research. So this organization is doing some fabulous things in having a seal that these products can have, and it's raising awareness.
It's raising awareness, and I think for those of us that are aware of GMOs and try not to eat them, it gives a lot of a sense of well-being knowing that something's been tested, because there's all kinds of chances for contamination in a product just through, you know, even through the growing process. So I think, you know, fighting back by labeling non-GMO, since we can't have GMOs labeled as GMOs, it's a great way to tackle that problem.
So we're pleased to announce Megan Westgate. Megan, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Great. Thank you for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
So a lot of new changes, a lot of new things with your organization over the past year. I know the non-GMO month was a big month for you. How have things been going?
Really well. As you mentioned, you know, there's been a problem in this country because of the government's lack of mandatory labeling of GMOs. And, you know, people really haven't had the ability to make an informed choice. And so that's why the Non-GMO Project was created. And it was really founded on the belief that everyone has a right to know what's in their food. And if people want to avoid GMOs, they should be able to do that. And so the project was started by retailers who basically recognized that in order to give people an informed choice, there needed to be a third-party standard and a third-party verification program to assess a company's best practices for GMO avoidance, require testing for ingredients that had risk for contamination, for example, those derived from corn, soy, canola, et cetera. And so the project was incorporated actually almost 4 years ago, and it's been a long 4 years, and it definitely gets more and more exciting all the time. We spent the first few years developing our standards, and you know, we have a 40-page, actually it's over 40 pages now, our standard. It's very technical and rigorous as far as what is required. And the environment that the project was created in was kind of this vacuum where a lot of different companies were recognizing that people were concerned about GMOs and starting to make different non-GMO claims, but none of them were verified by a third party. So they were just kind of all these self-made claims, and some companies really had a program behind it and were doing testing and really backing up their claims. But in most cases, companies were kind of throwing that on there without a lot of knowledge or attention, a lot of knowledge about the risk or attention to the supply chain and looking at how to keep that risk out. And so it took a couple of years to develop a consensus-based standard and really figure out how we could be both very pragmatic as far as what is possible in this day and age where GMOs have been proliferated for over 10 years in this country, pretty much unchecked, and where there is, at the same time, this really strong consumer demand to avoid them. And so, you know, I personally got involved in this project and helped start it just out of enthusiasm for giving consumers an informed choice. And I have to admit, I really didn't know what I was getting into as far as how complicated it was going to be to get a standard together and really get a critical mass of companies to voluntarily take on this additional work and expense of becoming verified.
Well, you mentioned these standards are pretty strict and technical. Can you give us a basic outline of what those might be?
Yeah, sure. So there's three core components in the standard, and those are testing, traceability, and segregation. And so it is a process-based standard similar to certified organic, so we don't test finished products. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is that it would be really inefficient and expensive to have to test every single finished product. But even more importantly, it's actually not possible to reliably test finished products because the tests that identify GMOs don't work when the DNA has been broken down. And so, for example, if something's been fermented or really heavily refined, like turned into an oil, it will show negative for GMO presence. So even if you take 100% GMO canola and turn that into canola oil, a PCR test for GMOs will show no presence. And some companies actually use that kind of disingenuously to make it seem like their product is GMO-free. But our position is, you know, if you made that oil out of a GMO crop, then it is a GMO oil. And if the test doesn't identify it, that's just a shortcoming of the test. And so we require that testing be done at the ingredient level and that it be done on a valid ingredient that is known to have DNA intact and will reflect if there is GMO contamination. So that's one key piece, the testing, and we allow that to happen anywhere in the chain. We require at least one PCR test post-harvest for every risk ingredient going into a product. There are annual verifications for this, and at the annual verification, our technical consultants review the participating company's testing results and paperwork for the entire year. So, you know, sometimes people have this idea that maybe we're just going in and occasionally testing finished product or something like that, but it's actually a continuous year-round process-based kind of program. So again, we require testing of any risk ingredients. We do use an action threshold for that, so that's another important clarification is we have an action threshold of 0.9%.
What does that mean?
So that means that if an ingredient tests over 0.9%, it cannot go into the product. So it's similar to the EU, where in all of the countries in the EU, and, you know, I wish it were like this here, it would make everything a lot simpler for all of us, but in all of the countries in the EU, any product that has more than 0.9% GMO content in it is required by law to be labeled and to disclose to shoppers that it has GMOs in it, because basically consumers there have demanded this. They won't eat GMOs. And so so our threshold is kind of has harmony with that. And, you know, I think it's interesting to talk about using a threshold versus GMO-free, because, of course, that's what we would all love, is to be able to say there are products that are 100% GMO-free. And unfortunately, because we live in a polluted world, that's not totally practical at this point. But our standard does advocate for, it specifically says that the goal for all verified products is absence of GMOs. And part of why it took so long for something like this to get off the ground is because GMOs had already been released. There were known contamination problems, and it was kind of that old thing of making perfect the enemy of the good, of people were afraid to tackle this at all because it was like, how do we guarantee that there are zero GMOs in something? It's very challenging. So that comes back to it being a process-based standard. So there's the testing. Every risk ingredient has to be below 0.9% GMO. And then the other two elements that I mentioned, traceability and segregation. So basically the traceability means that the company has to have systems in place for guaranteeing that the batch of ingredient that was tested is in fact what's going into the product. And then segregation are all the practices like cleaning out equipment and things like that to make sure that ingredients that were not tested and were not verified don't accidentally contaminate the verified ingredients along the way.
Wow, that sounds like a great system. I'm so happy to hear that and that you guys exist. I've been From when I first heard about the non-GMO project, I don't know when that was, a few months ago, maybe earlier this year, I've been watching the list of companies grow on your website. And for anyone interested in checking that out right now, their website is non-GMOproject.org. And if you go to, you can search participating products, and it's quite an impressive list of companies that have taken the initiative to become non-GMO certified, and we're really happy to see that. I think we're going to take this break right now for a message from our sponsors. You're listening to Food Integrity Now with Megan Westgate from the Non-GMO Project. We'll be right back.
Everyone, this is Carol again, and I just wanted to talk to you about one of our new sponsors, Hole in the Wall Herb and Vitamin Shop up in Woodland Park. The owners, Mark and Nancy Duvall, are not only close personal friends, but they're also my nutritional gurus. They are now selling, teaching, and doing Acira bioenergetic testing on their clients. I had this done, and I found out all my food allergies, emotional stressors, environmental sensitivities, hormonal balance, and I received a customized homeopathic remedy. Please call them for more information at 1-800-437-3240.
Are you experiencing depression, anxiety, anger, or low self-esteem? Do you find yourself sabotaging what you really want to achieve? Jeannie Smith at Open Heart Healing can help you work through these issues to allow joy and quality back into your life. Jeannie has over 10 years of experience as a Gestalt therapist and Tai Chi practitioner, and her office is here in Castle Rock on South Perry Street. Jeannie works with adults, couples, and adolescents. Call for a free consultation at 303-660-6373. Again, that's 303-660-6373.
Welcome back to Food Integrity Now. The show is on GMOs with the Non-GMO Project. We have Megan Westgate as our guest for all those listeners tuning in late. We gave a brief overview about the Non-GMO Project in the first segment and their fabulous testing program. Just want to get into a little bit of background. Most of our listeners know about GMOs and why they should care about them. But I'm curious, Megan, do you, in your work, what is the most common concern amongst consumers and concerned companies about GMOs?
Well, to me, the most resonant thing is just that there's so much that we don't know, and that we are basically part of, as you said, you know, unwittingly part of this experiment. And very little research is being done. There's only been one study done to look at the effects on human beings of consuming GMOs. And we're basically it. And I think particularly in the United States, it's important for people to realize that we grow over half of the GMOs that are grown on the whole planet are grown here. And GMOs are in probably about 80% of conventional processed foods, and they're not labeled. So, and at the same time that all of that is true, most Americans have no idea what a GMO even is. And I think that's all very intentional, because as soon as people understand what a GMO is, there's kind of a very natural tendency to be concerned about it. And the way, I mean, I'm sure, as you said, it isn't review for many of your listeners, but I think the important distinction that makes a GMO different from a traditional crop is just that with genetic modification, you can combine DNA between species. And that's a problem for a couple of reasons. One is just that the actual genes that could be inserted, someone might have an allergy to, or might not want to eat. And one really vivid example is one of the first GMOs ever commercialized was the Flavor Saver tomato, where they took the antifreeze gene out of a fish and spliced it into a tomato. So, you know, obviously that's just weird. And it's pretty easy for people to realize that that's not something that would ever happen in nature or through traditional breeding. But the other interesting thing is that science is actually starting to show that there is instability in the gene splicing process itself. And this loops back to what some of the health concerns are. So basically, you know, DNA is this incredibly dynamic, complex living thing. And the premise of genetic engineering is that you can just simply splice in the gene with the desired trait and that you'll only affect the DNA in that one intended way. But in fact, what happens when genes are spliced is that gene sequences in other places in the DNA can turn on and off and have unintended consequences. And for example, novel proteins can be created that people are allergic to. And our science really is not evolved enough yet to be able to really monitor what all of those unintended changes to the DNA are. And so it's a very, very haphazard science, and there's just simply a lot that is not known about what even happens to the DNA, let alone how that then affects the human being that's consuming it.
Yeah, I can imagine. It seems every day that we see both reports on GMOs, or actually those don't really show up in the mainstream media, but really every day there's something new about some new GMO organism that some scientist has created, like the GMO chicken that they just announced last week, and that that huge debate over the GMO salmon. So how do you stay up on what is out there in the wild?
Well, there is a relatively short list of things that have actually been commercialized and are in commercial production in GMO form. So that's the good news. We hear a lot of times from consumers who are worried that maybe everything in the produce aisle is genetically modified. Unfortunately, it's not. There's basically a pretty short list of things. I'll go over it quickly, but it's on our website too if people want to reference it. But basically, there's been a big focus on the commodity crops that are used in processed food. And so corn, soy, canola, cotton, and now sugar beets, are the really big crops that are, you know, the majority of what's commercially produced in the United States of those crops is genetically modified. And there is also some GMO zucchini and also Hawaiian papaya. Okay. But as you said, you know, they're working on more things all the time, and you know, we just kind of assume that there are tests being done on just about every crop and possible, and now increasingly animals. And so it's definitely something we keep an eye on. We have a great standards committee and a technical advisory board, and we actually work with a whole team of technical consultants who help us develop our standard and oversee our verification process. And that's really important because obviously there is a lot of technical expertise required to oversee this whole program.
Great. I know when Jeffrey Smith appeared on Dr. Oz, he had a loaf of bread that had the non-GMO seal on it. Is that something that people can find in the stores right now?
You know, I'm not sure which brand that bread was because you couldn't see from that close-up, but the Non-GMO Project Verified Seal is definitely on products. I know that Berlin Natural Bakery has Non-GMO Project Verified bread now, and there are actually a couple of thousand Non-GMO Project Verified products now, and the best resource to see those, as you mentioned, is to look at our website. We list all of the brands who are participating, all of the products that are enrolled, and also those that are actually verified. So the products that are actually, you know, currently being assessed and working towards verification are listed, and then we highlight the ones that have actually completed the whole process. We have all of the test results on record, and we've seen all of their other practices for traceability and segregation. And then in addition to the website, of course, you know, what I get really excited about is actually seeing the seal on products, and that's starting to happen more and more. We kind of launched that with the first non-GMO months this past October, and there are more and more companies working on incorporating this into their packaging, and we actually are just launching the first bilingual non-GMO project verification marks in Canada, which is really exciting. Yes. So that people north of the border can have this same informed choice, because there are similar problems in Canada with the government not really regulating GMOs and not mandating labeling.
How many companies do you have? I know you said you have over 1,000 products now, which is awesome. How many companies are testing with you?
I believe we have a couple hundred brands enrolled at this point. The list grows every day. So honestly, it doesn't seem that long ago at all that I would get so excited, like every time we got a call from a company, which might happen every couple of weeks or something. But now we have companies enrolling, you know, every couple of days, new companies sign on, and we get inquiries, multiple inquiries every day. So it's really accelerating. And I think, you know, it all really got off the ground with a lot of help from our founding board members, who are some of the companies in the natural and organic products industry that are just really deeply committed to the long-term integrity of the food supply. And those are companies like Eden Foods, Nature's Path, Lundberg Family Farms, Organic Valley, Whole Foods, UNFI. We have some really great companies on our board, and they've really helped pave the way so that now more and more companies in the industry are seeing that really protecting natural and organic products from GMO contamination is really one of the most important things that the industry can do. And so we're just seeing more and more companies getting excited to be part of this effort. And especially, you know, I mentioned that when I got involved with this, I was just really excited about the consumer outreach and seeing the label on products. And I had no idea, first of all, how pervasive contamination was, what a big problem it was, how hard it was to control. And so, as I mentioned, we spent a couple of years really developing our standards and figuring out how to make this work. And during that time, we didn't do a lot of consumer outreach. And so I'm just thrilled now that we've gotten to a place where we have thousands of verified products and the seal is showing up. And it's giving consumers, it's empowering consumers to have an informed choice and, you know, to be willing. I kind of think that in the past, before this existed, before there were non-GMO project verified options, it was kind of hard to really delve into the realities about GMOs because you don't really want to hear that there's something in most of your food that is totally untested and might be giving you allergies or other diseases, creating fertility problems, et cetera, et cetera, and then you have no way to avoid it. You know, it was a pretty scary situation. So it's really my deep hope that now that there is a positive solution that people have, that it will be more and more effective to shine the spotlight on what the concerns are, and people will be inclined to take that knowledge in, and I think we're really starting to see that.
Thanks, Megan. We got more coming up. We're going to take this break for a message from our sponsors. Well, you are listening to Food Integrity Now. We'll be right back.
Are you experiencing depression, anxiety, anger, or low self-esteem? Do you find yourself sabotaging what you really want to achieve? Jeannie Smith at Open Heart Healing can help you work through these issues to allow joy and quality back into your life. Jeannie has over 10 years of experience as a Gestalt therapist and Tai Chi practitioner, and her office is here in Castle Rock on South Perry Street. Jeannie works with adults, couples, and adolescents. Call for a free consultation at 303-660-6373. Again, that's 303-660-6373. Are you a person who is seeking understanding in your life, emotions, relationships, and/or career? Many people are ready for a new level of understanding. Are you? Work with Tammy at Empowerment Through Healing to discover the answers that may be hidden. Tammy is a medium clairvoyant and a life energy low Tai Chi practitioner. Tammy can offer guidance through her work as a medium clairvoyant, working with your spirit guides to offer understanding at current life issues. Find more information and to contact Tammy, go to www.empowermentthroughhealing.com or you may phone her at 719-641-2017. Welcome back to Food Integrity Now with Megan Westgate. We're talking about the non-GMO project. Megan, so
this seal is coming out in the stores soon.
It's already out.
Yeah.
Some products.
Yeah, right. It is already out. But we're going to see this on a much larger scale soon. So since most of the public still doesn't know what a GMO is, what is your organization have some education program that coincides with this to let people know why they should care about that seal?
Yeah, really our focus is on developing a non-GMO month in October. And so we did our first one this past year, and we're building on that next year. In the next couple of months, we'll be launching a new website called nongmomonth.org and working with other nonprofit organizations who are focused on this, including like the Institute for Responsible Technology. You mentioned Jeffrey Smith, the Allergy Kids Foundation with Robin O'Brien, and, you know, lots of the other groups that are concerned with this issue. And our organization's focus is really about retail shoppers and driving a change at that level. But fortunately, there are other groups. You know, for example, the Center for Food Safety works on the litigation. Jeffrey really focuses on the health dangers. So there's a lot of different angles to come at this from, and they're all really important because, like you said, you know, there's such a lack of knowledge overall. And our strategy is to start with natural food retailers and consumers and really build strong awareness of the project in that kind of core audience and then branch out from there. And one of the things that I get really excited about is, you know, there are natural and organic products in more and more conventional grocery stores now. And so to me, just the whole concept of, you know, someone sees a non-GMO project verified seal, maybe they've never even heard of the term GMO, hopefully it elicits some curiosity, and partly for that reason, we put our URL, nongmoproject.org, on our seal, so that's actually on the packages when people see it, and we have a lot of consumer oriented and content on our website to help educate people. So I get really excited about the idea of having verified products with the seal on it in these kind of mainstream shopping environments where, you know, it will come in contact with a lot of consumers who haven't seen it before. For example, one of our first companies to have non-GMO project verified corn chips is R.W. Garcia, and their products are just launching with the seal on them in Costco. So, and of course, you know, there's a lot of other grocery stores that carry, you know, Nature's Path products and Eden products, et cetera. And Nature's Path products do have the seal on them already. So that's our big strategy, really, is to focus on shoppers and empowering shoppers, but then to also be a conduit for facilitating other groups' activities. And really, we think that just focusing one month of the year to really, you know, really celebrate consumers' right to choose non-GMO and really put a lot of focus on it is the most effective thing. We do have year-round programs, but we're realizing that it takes a full year to plan a non-GMO month, and so that's kind of our strategy at this point.
I still find it kind of shocking when I go into a restaurant and I tell them that I don't eat GMOs, and you get that blank look on their face. Do you have So do you think a side effect of this will be the education of restaurants? Or do you have a program for restaurants too of non-GMO certification?
We don't yet, but it's a really interesting question, and we have heard from restaurants over the last couple of years who are interested in this, and you know, it's been coming up more and more lately. So I kind of anticipate that I expect we will eventually, and I anticipate it'll be similar to what we see with organic things on menus now, where there's very few restaurants that are, I don't know if they actually have certified organic restaurants. I know that there's very few restaurants that have 100% certified organic menus, but there are more and more that offer organic choices, and I would imagine a similar thing with non-GMO, where we might start seeing you know, we could launch a program to help restaurants verify the sources of various risk ingredients, and they could put little asterisks or indicate, you know, this dish is a non-GMO or has non-GMO project verified ingredients. And I would love to see that. You know, my husband and I don't eat out very much, as you can imagine. When you work with the food industry and learn more and more about how things work and what goes into everything, you know, it really makes me more and more excited to grow as much of our own food as possible and shop a lot out of the bulk section. And of course, I'm really happy that there are now increasing non-GMO verified choices, and a lot of those are certified organic also, which are great.
Yeah, it really says a lot for how far things have come in getting people to be more educated. If there's more requests for products, and that's why there are more products being certified with the non-GMO project. And I think it really shows a lot of how things are changing. It's exciting.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, like I said earlier, it's like as soon as people hear about a GMO and like really understand what it is, they don't like it. And no one likes the idea of being a guinea pig. And I find, you know, when I'm traveling, which I do a fair amount for work, and, you know, I'm checking into hotel or at the rental car counter, and someone just casually asks what I do for work, it's like never a simple answer, especially if they've never heard of a GMO, but I try to give a distilled version. And what I find in talking with people who aren't necessarily like core organic or natural shoppers is it really resonates when I say that in the EU, the government requires that everything with more than 0.9% GMO has to be labeled. It's like then all of a sudden there's this light bulb of realizing I am a guinea pig. And people, you know, even if they think that organic food is some like hippie crunchy granola thing, they don't want to be a guinea pig. So I think that's really powerful. And we are, you know, we just got data showing that sales of non-GMO project verified items have gone up 21% in the last year, which is a really nice. Rapid increase. And that's the kind of data that's helping us get even more companies on board, because they're seeing that it is something that's really important to shoppers. And it is a big commitment that they make as far as just the work of doing the verification and the testing. And so it's great that there really is the consumer concern about this to make it worth their while, and that we're starting to have the data to show that.
Have you had any resistance to this as you built your company and built this certification process? Have there been any instances of resistance in any areas, either from the public or from different corporations, or just curious as to how easy or difficult this might have been?
Oh, yes. Started. I wish I could say no, but easy is not a word I would use to describe this. I had, like I said, no idea how complicated it would be. I got involved in this from the perspective of a retailer. I was doing membership and marketing for the food co-op in Tucson and didn't know much about the food production side of the industry, and just kind of thought, you know, this is great. Let's create a nonprofit. We'll figure out which companies are doing it right and come up with a pretty picture that they can put on their packaging to let everybody know. And it was definitely not that simple. And one of the biggest things that we faced is just there's a lot of fear, because people hadn't really been wanting to do the testing to find out if the contamination was there. And it's kind of like, if you don't know what the situation is, then you can't make it better. Mm-hmm. And the analogy that's commonly used is just kind of that people kind of had their heads in the sand about it. And, you know, I totally understand why, because it's really, really unfair that the burden is now on natural and organic companies to keep GMOs out. And it's the biotech companies that are profiting from this technology, and they are not taking any responsibility for the contamination that's caused as a result and the potential loss of markets that natural and organic products face. And so for a long time, there was this feeling like, well, this isn't our problem. You know, the biotech companies need to take responsibility. The government needs to help do something. And basically, we got to a point about 5 years ago where it just became clear that the government wasn't necessarily going to do anything, and no one wanted to sit around waiting for the biotech companies to take responsibility. And so, you know, it was challenging to bring the industry around to understanding and really seeing, like, it's totally not fair, but if we don't do this, no one will. And if we don't do this, Americans and Canadians won't have a choice to avoid GMOs, and our whole food supply will be contaminated. And I'm really inspired by the leadership in the natural and organic industry of all these brands that really care what their children and their grandchildren are eating and want to make sure that there are safe, healthy options for them. And they've really stepped up. But, you know, it's definitely been years of educating and helping people understand what the risks are, and supporting them to find out so that they could be empowered to protect their products. And I do think, you know, I don't want to give up on the role of government in this, and also in accountability by biotechnology companies. I think that that's still really important. And there's a big thing going on right now with GMO alfalfa, which I encourage people to look into. We, our Facebook page is a really great resource for finding out about current news and petitions and things that you can find. And we have stuff about GMO alfalfa on there, but basically, the USDA is looking at deregulating GMO alfalfa, and for the first time, they're considering putting restrictions on it and having some accountability on the biotech companies, so that if, for example, an organic farmer's field, alfalfa field, is contaminated with GMO, that there's a compensation fund that would pay for it. You know, this is all, it's not set yet, but it's encouraging to me that the conversation is happening. And I think in addition to the non-GMO project and to this kind of market-oriented solution, it's really important that the legislative efforts continue and the litigation continues, and, you know, all of the other organizations keep doing their work as well.
Yeah, you talked a little bit about the government, how we're kind of expecting the government to take care of it, but as the recent WikiLeaks cables have shown, our government is actually pushing the GMO agenda and kind of doing the biotech companies' jobs for them. So it's what it really comes down to is the people and organizations such as your own to state what we want and not have our government decide it for us. So we're going to take this break and for a message from our sponsors, and we'll be right back for the final segment with Megan Westgate. You're listening to Food Integrity Now.
Drink the water, drink it down. This time I know I'm bound to spit it back up. I didn't want this.
Hi everyone, this is Carol again, and I just wanted to talk to you about one of our new sponsors, Hole in the Wall Herb and Vitamin Shop up in Woodland Park. The owners, Mark and Nancy Duvall, are not only close personal friends, but they're also my nutritional gurus. They are now selling, teaching, and doing Acira bioenergetic testing on their clients. I had this done, and I found out all my food allergies, emotional stressors, environmental sensitivities, hormonal balance, and I received a customized homeopathic remedy. Please call them for more information at 1-800-437-3240.
Are you experiencing depression, anxiety, anger, or low self-esteem? Do you find yourself sabotaging what you really want to achieve? Jeannie Smith at Open Heart Healing can help you work through these issues to allow joy and quality back into your life. Jeannie has over 10 years of experience as a Gestalt therapist and Tai Chi practitioner, and her office is here in Castle Rock on South Perry Street. Jeannie works with adults, couples, and adolescents. Call for a free consultation at 303-660-6373. Again, that's 303-660-6373.
Welcome back to the final segment of Food Integrity Now with Megan Westgate from the Non-GMO Project. We've been going over how the project works and all the fabulous companies that are getting involved in ensuring that their products are non-GMO. And I'm curious, Megan, these the companies signing up for the Non-GMO Project, are you at the point where they're coming to seek out you, or are you still... are you still promoting having to go and seek them out?
They're definitely seeking us out. I mean, we are continuing our outreach and following up with people, but we hear from people all the time that we have not reached out to that are just hearing about this through UNFI, which is the biggest natural food distributor in the country, is a huge supporter of the project. They're one of our founding board members, and they have a lot of outreach to companies in the industry. So they're doing a great job of promoting companies that are verified, and that helps bring attention to the project. And then we have over 30,000 fans on our Facebook page, and a similar number of people to that visiting our website on a monthly basis. So I think the industry is just starting to see that the companies that enroll and get verified are really getting a lot of great recognition, and they get inspired to be part of it. So they're coming to us. But we're also reaching out to companies. One of the things that we're doing right now is cataloging all of the different companies that are making non-GMO claims on their packages that are not verified, and working with them to help verify the systems that they have in place and make sure that they're making a claim that has transparency for consumers. Because that's one issue we see, is that it's very confusing for people to know what... there are hundreds of different types of non-GMO claims out there. And again, the project was created because none of those claims are verified by a third party. And so the Non-GMO Project verified seal is the only one that lets people know that it has been, the risk ingredients have been tested, and a third party technical expert has analyzed the whole production process for the item. And so we want to make sure that anyone that's excited for Non-GMO to be part of their branding and getting that out there is really doing the diligence and has integrity behind their claims so that consumers can know what's what.
Is it economically feasible for small local companies to enroll in your certification program and still be profitable?
It is. And actually, if you look at our website, you'll see we have a huge range of small local companies, big companies, really like every kind of company is on there. One of the things that we have is for companies that produce fewer products, the enrollment level fees for their company are lower, and that's one thing that we've done to accommodate smaller organizations. But another really key piece of this is that the whole concept of having an industry-wide standard was to really make it efficient and cost-effective for everybody to do non-GMO, because prior to this, what happened is if a company really wanted to get serious about keeping GMOs out, they had to do all of the testing. They had to go to all of their ingredient suppliers, maybe co-packers who are making their products for them, and ask for whatever kinds of testing they wanted to do or standards. And with this, the reality, as I'm sure you're aware, is that there's a lot of sharing of ingredient supplies and also of facilities within the natural and organic products industry. And so the idea here is that an item can be verified at the ingredient level. So, for example, someone that's making soy lecithin could get that non-GMO project verified. And then everyone that's using that ingredient doesn't have to repeat the testing or repeat the work. They just know that that ingredient has been signed off on. And so that's one way, you know, if a small company is still purchasing outside ingredients, they don't need to do the testing. We can help them source it from people that are already verified, and that simplifies it for them.
Are you seeing this have any effect? Because there is a lot of growth and awareness. Are government agencies at all, well, actually you did mention that they're starting to ask for accountability from corporations, but have you seen any other signs of government starting to take notice of this and respond?
Not very much. Non-GMO claims and GMO claims really are not regulated in this country. I don't see anyone in D.C. getting too excited about this, with the exception of alfalfa, which is a really big deal.
Yeah.
The Secretary of Agriculture invited organic industry leaders to D.C. to sit down with biotech representatives and talk together about possible solutions that would meet everyone's needs. And, you know, there is a certain inclination to just resist the whole idea of working with them and just, you know, be indignant that GMOs are even allowed to be grown. And then at the same time, you know, I have this pragmatic side that's like, well, they are, though, and I don't think the biotech companies are going to instantly go away. So it's at least a sign of progress that our industry is being invited to the table and is being recognized. And it really is because of the growth of it and because of the financial power that the industry now has and how many people are choosing organic, that it's totally important and justifiable and necessary to have the organic industry at the table with decisions like this. But it's not something that the USDA had to do. I think it's an interesting policy choice that they did that, and I definitely appreciate it. But they're going to be making a final decision probably next week, and it's going to be very interesting to see what they do going forward.
We have just a few more minutes, Megan. What are some ways that people can help?
I think the most important thing, you know, from the perspective of supporting the non-GMO project, is to look for non-GMO project verified items. Let the brands with verified items know that you appreciate their commitment to non-GMO. And if you have a favorite brand or product that's not non-GMO project verified, giving them a call or sending them an email and letting them know how important it is to you to avoid GMOs and that you want to see their products non-GMO project verified. That's really the single most helpful thing. And then, as I mentioned, we do have a very active Facebook page. So for people that are on Facebook, that's a great way to just stay in the loop about news. And, you know, we post when there's petitions or any kind of actions that people can take from all kinds of different organizations relating to GMOs. We put that on there. So there's always opportunities to do more. And we also post on there every time a new product or company enrolls or becomes verified. So it's a nice way to find out as that list grows and grows, to find out more.
Great. Do you have a link on there for the taking action against the GMO alfalfa?
We do, yes.
Great.
I think I posted it probably a week ago, so you might just have to search alfalfa, but it's definitely there.
Okay, great. I see also on Jeffrey Smith's website, there's a link for sending a letter to Tom Vilsack, the Secretary of Agriculture. So hopefully people will take action on that. And
I'd like to first plug my favorite non-GMO project companies. SO and their coconut milk and coconut bliss. They're my favorite.
Those are tasty. Eden Foods too.
I love coconut bliss.
Yeah, and Eden Foods for sure.
I have to admit that I purposely go after the products that I eat a lot. I'm always like, really want you guys to get verified, and it actually is working pretty well. And, you know, most of my favorite stuff is verified now, which is awesome.
Yeah. Well,
great. So is there anything else you'd like to wrap up with? Where do you see the non-GMO project going in the next few years?
Well, our goal is really to have all of the products in the natural and organic products industry non-GMO project verified, and to really make sure that collectively we preserve a long-term non-GMO food supply. And I think we're definitely heading in the right direction, so we're just going to continue working on that. And, you know, eventually I'd love to see even conventional producers on board and to get to the point where it's just not worth anyone's while to grow GMOs because no one wants to eat them.
Great. Yeah. Well, we share that vision. Thank you for joining us today, Megan. We really appreciated it, and we're very excited for the work that you're doing.
Great. Thanks so much for having me. Okay.
Our show next week, we are having Larry Jacobs from Jacobs Farm. He's an organic farmer, and he'll have some interesting things to tell you about organic farming.
Well, and he won a lawsuit. Actually.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. An important lawsuit that Carol has more information on. So you're going to like it. You got to tune in next week to find out, or check it out on Facebook.
Yep.
Thanks for listening. This is Food Integrity Now. I'm Matt Spaeth, and I'm here with Susan Wright. Have a great week.